Welcome to the United Cast, it's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm talking about Man United's 3-0 win at home in the Premier League against Brentford. First things first, I just want to say a big thank you and a big, big thank you to Juan Mata and Manja Matic. They're both supposed to be leaving in the summer. Mata's contract is running out, and Matic did announce that he's leaving in the summer. Obviously they got their applause, you know, from leaving the pitch. There is two games left still in the season, but this is the last home game, so big applause to them. There's, you know, we'll discuss the two of them probably later on and in the player ratings and whatnot. An actual good game of football. It's been a while, isn't it? You know, we've been talking about being slaughtered by Man City and losing to, you know, barely beating Norwich and losing to Arsenal, getting really destroyed by Liverpool and just about drawing to Chelsea and all these other recent results. I mean, we all know how this season has gone, right? You know, it's gone from bad to worse. And I was sitting there watching the first 20, 30, 45 minutes and thinking, okay, what is it that is making us play better? Because there's no way we suddenly put on a switch or whatever, and just like, oh yeah, we can play football really well, let's just do it. There's no way that that's the case, right? Because if that's the case, what have we been doing all season? All season, we've not played once like this all season, that I can remember at least. I mean, there's a lot of games, obviously, maybe there's a few of them that I don't remember, but we've not played like this for a long, long, long time. And look, there's a couple of asterisks next to it. You could say this is only Brentford. That's fair enough. But we just about beat Norwich 3-2. Norwich are the ones that are at the bottom of the league, not Brentford. Brentford are about 13th, 14th. So yeah, you could make the argument of like, oh, it's only Brentford, that's why you played well. But why do we struggle against Norwich then? Why do we struggle against Burnley? Why do we struggle against why do we lose to Middlesbrough this season? You know, why did those things happen? If you're going to make the excuse about like, oh, it's only Brentford, that's why we played well, why did we lose to Middlesbrough and why did we just about beat Norwich? You know, what's that all about? This was either the players finally doing their Ten Hag audition, or it's because Juan Mata was on this pitch. Because Juan Mata today, I think Juan Mata achieved a lot of things in this game, some unintentionally and some intentionally. It is time to move on from Juan Mata, unfortunately. But it really just showed there's been so many times this season where it's been McTominay, Fred, Bruno, McTominay, Fred, Bruno, McTominay, Fred, Bruno. And you kind of think, I mean, I've mentioned this myself in a few episodes before. He's been on the bench a lot of times. Obviously, he's made a few more appearances and a few more minutes now. Between about August this season and March this season, he played about 10 minutes of football. It's not 140 grand a week. Why aren't you rotating more and using other players? It's just, it's amazing what happens when you take out, I mean, I've spoken about what I think is going on with Rashford before. It's amazing what happens when you take off an out of form Rashford. You move Bruno over there. Bruno's kind of been out of form as well. But you move him and you put Juan Mata in. It's interesting as well how after the what was the last game? The Chelsea one. When I said about how bad Maguire, Bruno and Rashford have been. Those are the three that I pointed out. And I said what you've got to do is drop them or, you know, make a change. And okay, Bruno still played, but he played with Juan Mata, and Bruno also played in a different position, so not the exact same thing for Bruno. But you take Maguire out because, you know, he's injured, you put Lindelof and Varane there, and as much as I'm still not a big fan of Lindelof, he is better with Varane than what he is with Maguire, definitely. And then you take an out of form Rashford off, you put him on the bench, and you put Juan Mata in there. Now, you know, obviously there's no future there with Mata, but it's a change. So I guess I was correct, because I can't really be wrong about what I said, because I think this game proved that. Of just, Yeah, you've got to stop playing out of form players over and over and over again. Either that, or you move where they're playing, or put them with different players. Because again, you can make the argument about Bruno Fernandes and everything. But you take an out of form Rashford off the pitch, you put Wan-Mata in there, who's probably quite hungry to play and all that kind of stuff. And what a difference it makes. There's something I need to mention as well. Now, I don't want to bash on McTominay in this podcast, and I'm not going to do that. I just want to point something out about McTominay. Mata and Matic both had very, very, very good games. Mata, I think, was a clear standout. I think Mata and Matic demonstrated how limited McTominay is. I think that's what happened in this game. I don't think McTominay had a bad game per se. I mean, there was a few very questionable passes that he made. So you can, I guess you can say that. But I think with how Mata was moving about the pitch, knocking about passes, not knocking passes off, you know, doing pass and move, which is what I've been saying for weeks, and Matic is doing the same but in, you know, a different role, it really showed. Because I think McTominay exposed himself in this game. I don't think it was specifically Mata and Matic stepping up their game. I think McTominay played the way that McTominay normally plays in this game. I think he was able to get away with certain things because others around him were playing very well. But it was still quite clear to me in this game how limited McTominay is. Now, I'm not going to bash on him. I'm not going to say, you know, he's horrible, terrible player, whatever. You know, get rid of him. I still think he needs to leave. But, and he didn't have a. He's had definitely worse games than this. But I just think the team around McTominay today exposed how limited. Because, yeah, I think he's a bad footballer. And he's been out of form and stuff like that. But I think this game showed us how limited, specifically limited, he is. And I know that, you know, Mata and Matic have got much more experience. But McTominay's. How old is McTominay now? He's not what you could consider a young player. He's 25. McTominay's 25. To me, your age 25 to 30-ish is your prime years. And if you play well in the 30-plus category, like Mata, Ronaldo, Matic, then you've done very well for yourself. But I would say 25 to 30 are supposed to be your prime years. So McTominay's supposed to be starting that now. But anyway, I don't want to go too much more on about that because there's a. I want this to be a more positive episode. I just wanted to mention that because I just kind of noticed that with, especially with, because Matic has been playing more often. Mata hardly plays at all. But I think Mata and Matic combined really showed. Because, like, if you take McTominay out of this team and you put Van de Beek in there, then you're really going to be singing. Obviously, you have to replace Mata and Matic anyway with two new players. But if you take somebody like McTominay out, put Van de Beek in, and put in two other players like Matic and Mata, that's a very good midfield. Now, McTominay, Fred, and Bruno Fernandes are not the answer. Bruno Fernandes can be part of that answer sometimes, but McFred or McTominay and Fred are not. And I think this game completely solidified that, I think. But I just wanted to note that. On the other side of things, best performance we've done in a long, long, long time. I can't remember the last time we played football this well. Yes, you could say, oh, it's only Brentford, but I mentioned that at the start of the episode. But no, just it's really interesting how we've been lacking the basics of football in the last, well, you could say like 6 months or so, roughly. Just the basic movement off the ball, pass and move, making runs off the ball, keeping possession when you need to keep it, making runs at the right time. It's very basic football stuff. You know, I think most people could. I think a general everyday person could watch a football match and notice when a team is passing too slow, when it's too lethargic, it's too static. And this is the Premier League is the fastest league in the world, at least as far as I'm aware. You've got to be knocking off. Not, I'm not talking about like FIFA style where you're sort of, you know, making players make runs every single second of the game. At times you do need to slow it down slightly and look for the teammate near you, knock off the pass, and then, you know, get it kind of going again from that. But yeah, it's interesting with that. So anyway, so yeah, very, very, very good performance and everything like that. And look, does this mean we're going to win the quad next season? No. Does this mean we're going to win anything next season? Some of this team won't even be here, namely Mata and Matic. I will say, though, the interesting thing with the Matic situation, right? Mata's contract is finishing in this summer. So his contract is automatically running out, so he's going to leave for free. Matic's contract doesn't run out until next season. So, yeah, he's announced he's leaving, but contract-wise, he isn't. Because if nobody comes in to get Matic, he's still going to be here. But whether he agrees, like, I don't know, contract termination, or I don't know how that's going to work, but I just thought that was really interesting. Could be Phil Jones' last home game as well, so we'll see how all of that goes. But yeah, good, much better, much better. It's just, it, you know, I'm not expecting any major long-term changes from this. And I don't know how the next two games in the season will go, but it was just nice to watch better football. That's the point, I think. You can argue it was just Brentford, whatever. You can argue whatever you want. But it was just nice to see some better football. I think we can agree on that. Unless you're not a United fan, then obviously you probably wanted to see us lose. So there you go. Anyway, let's get into the summary. I was going to say something else about Mata, but I'll leave more of the player-specific conversation until the player ratings. So, yeah, first goal, 9 minutes in, Bruno Fernandes scored. Somebody passed it to Alanga, I think it was Matic. Alanga makes a run down the left-hand side and down the right-hand side and puts it across to Bruno Fernandes and scores a very good goal. Bit of pass and move, running down the wing, player in the box. Nice, relatively simple goal to score. Though I will say, Bruno had like a couple of players around him, so I wasn't completely sure that the ball was going to make it to him, but it did, and we scored the goal. So that was a very nice, good first goal from that. So there you go. Then Ronaldo scored an offside goal. It was a good move down the, I think it was the left-hand side. Mata made a run down the left-hand side. Did pass it into Ronaldo. It was a very good Ronaldo goal. But it was offside, unfortunately. So I still wanted to mention it because it still happened, but that was offside. So 1-0, quite comfortable at halftime. Of course, 1-0 can be a dangerous scoreline in football. But 1-0 at halftime, it was a good first half. I think it was a good 90 minutes, really, but it was a good first half. So that was that part. Then Matic got booked for something. I can't remember what that was for. Then Ronaldo scored a penalty, clearly taken down inside the box. Won the penalty, the ball was played down the right-hand side. Again, good bit of pass and move. So that was good as well. And then he simply slots away the penalty. There was a few penalty shouts in this game. I think some of them were and were not penalties. But this one was a bit more obvious, so the referee had to give this one. Well, I guess he didn't have to, but he decided to. So that was a penalty for Ronaldo, and he tucked it away, which is good. A few questions tonight as to whether Ronaldo's going to be here next season, but I think he's happy here at the moment. And he's still got a contract for next season. So, yeah. Interesting, yeah. So, yeah, there's that part of it as well. I was going to say something else, but never mind. So there was that. And then Fred on for Matic. So the first goodbye of the night. Matic coming off, you know, gets a round of applause. He's done very, very well for Manchester United. He's been a good servant of the club. Would you call him a legend? Would I call Matic a legend? I mean, when I think of legends of this club, I think of people like Beckham, Scholes, Giggs, Keane, Cantona, Ronaldo, Schmeichel, Giggs, even as far, I would say, Park Ji-sung, Rooney, you know, those sorts of players. I would say Matic, yes, is a legend at the club. Didn't win as much as he could have and should have, but that's not all down to him. But I would say him and Mata are, Yeah, I think they're memorable players of the club. They're not legends in the status of like a Ronaldo or a Beckham or like a Rooney or something. But those players are all kind of from different eras where we were more successful and when we used to win things. But being a legend individually as a player shouldn't really be equated to were you in a team that won something, because it's not about that one player, it's about the whole rest of the team that are contributing towards that. But yeah, I'd say they both probably are, yeah, slightly. So yeah, but he comes off, Fred comes on, substitution that makes sense, so there we go. Then they made a couple of subs, then Rhys scored actually from a corner, first time in a little while. Varane scored the goal. It was just a cross in from a corner, and Varane was there to tuck it away. Has he scored for Man United before? I think he scored one goal before. It might have been in the Champions League, if I'm remembering correctly. But I think Varane has scored one goal beforehand. So, yeah, I could be wrong about that, though. But now he definitely has scored, so we can remember that. But, yeah, good little sort of goal from the corner, and that was good as well. Then Jones and Cavani. Remember Cavani? I remember Cavani. He was great last season, then he decided to kind of stop playing for... I don't know what went on with Cavani. It's very, very annoying because I was, you know, singing his praises last season. Yeah, it's a shame what's gone on there. I don't know exactly how to speak about it because I don't know the exact things that have happened, but he's been on the injury list, but people have seen him, like, going around doing different things, like attending boxing matches and stuff when he's supposed to have been injured. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with all that, but he's leaving anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So, speaking of Mata, Jones subbed on for Mata and Cavani subbed on for Elanga. That was Mata's goodbye. And the thing that's a shame about Mata is a number 10. We apparently signed Mata when he was 25. He's now 30. What is he now? 34. Oh, well, I was 34. I had his birthday recently, 28th of April. We've criminally underutilized Juan Mata. He is up there with the best of the best in terms of midfielders for me. I've often spoken about Mata's quality. And yeah, you could argue at times in the last couple of years he's looked like his, you know, legs have been gone and stuff, but still a player that we should have used more. Definitely, but used in the right position. I don't know why we as a club felt that Mata, at the age of like 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, was being chosen to play on the right wing so often, and we didn't get the best out of him. And it's a really, really big shame what's happened to Mata, but this game demonstrated how good he can be, definitely. He's one of my favourite Man United players. I don't know about like top 10, top 20 where I'd put him, but one of my favourites. I liked him at Chelsea before he signed for Man United. I remember being quite shocked and surprised and delighted when we signed him from Chelsea. I thought, wow, we're getting him. That's like really, really good. And you know, it was unfortunate to be stuck around the Mourinho Van Gaal-ish sort of era. I can't remember who signed him actually, which manager was in charge at the time. But no, just wasn't really used correctly. You know, we're wasting time with players like Pereira and Lingard, players like that. At the time, like playing Pereira at 10 and playing Mata on the wing, such a stupid thing to do. I would say, do you know what? Yeah, Mata and Matic, I think, are legends of the club. I think they've just. Matic has definitely been used more than Mata, but they've not been utilized like. Properly, because I would argue Mata should have made like more probably substitute appearances and things like that. Just because he can't always play 90 minutes doesn't mean you have to completely take him out of the team. That's literally what an impact sub or rotation player is for. So it's a bit of a shame. But anyway, thank you to Mata for his service to Man United. One of my favourite players, certainly. So. There we go. Then Cavani brought on for Elanga, so there's not too much to sort of analyse there, but that was that. Anyway, we got to get into some housekeeping. and then do some player ratings. So I'll see you for all that in a minute.
Hi there, and thanks very much for listening. Today I'm here to tell you about our two different affiliate links, the first of which is our Amazon affiliate link. That's where you can shop on Amazon. We can get a small cut of what you spend, but it won't cost you anything extra. So whether you're getting a gift for somebody else or treating yourself, or maybe both depending on the occasion, we can get a small cut of what you spend, but it won't cost you extra. You can find the link to our Amazon affiliate link in your show notes. The second affiliate link for today is our Kualu affiliate link. If you want to get started with a website and a domain name of your choice, you can simply sign up with Kualu using the link in the show notes. They also have a live chat support system that's in the bottom right hand corner as well. So if you need help with getting set up, Kualu will be able to help you with that as well. The links for both of these can be found in your show notes for Kualu and the Amazon affiliate link. If you would like to get the ad-free versions of Entertainment Talks podcast and support us along the way, you can simply sign up over on our Patreon page. You can sign up either as a creator or as a patron. There's no difference there for the time being. And you can get your ad-free podcasts over there. It's a great way to support us on Entertainment Talk and to get rid of the ads and get your ad-free podcasts. You can also support Entertainment Talk on Patreon at the $3 level tier. This gets you a chance to request a review from us of your favourite TV show or film, but it's one per month, so one TV show or film review per month. It's up to you which one you want to choose. We will watch a few episodes of the TV show that you choose, or of course if it's a film, we'll just watch that film and we will review that for you on that month. And then when it gets to the next month, you can request a new TV show or a film review of your choice. That's $3 level tier. That does also of course include your ad-free podcasts for the month as well. Thank you very much for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
Alright, recently on Entertainment Talk, yesterday we did another Gaming Talk podcast episode. This one was talking about the official confirmation of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 being again developed by Infinity Ward. They're usually the devs that handle the Modern Warfare games in the Call of Duty series, so I'm very, very much looking forward to that. I can't wait to see what that game is all about. Sifu got, they released some information about an update that's coming out tomorrow. So that's for Tuesday the 3rd of May. The update's going to be coming out, and they're going to be having difficulty options, so that's good. And also it talks about a new patch coming to Dying Light 2, and me and Robert also speculated and talked about Microsoft and Bethesda announcing their games showcase for June, sort of their E3 style type presentation. So what should we see? What should we expect? We talked all about all of that, so that's that episode. Did a TV season review for Russian Doll Season 2, which is the next one on Netflix, with Natasha Lyonne returning to the role. Gave that a must-see rating. I really, really enjoyed Season 2. Very refreshing change of pace from Season 1. Not that it completely needed it, but very refreshing second season, and really, really enjoyed all the differences and, you know, just the general qualities of that show. And that's a completely spoiler-free review, by the way. So you can check that one out if you want to. Of course, Russian Doll is on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, me and David did a podcast of Analyzing Television, episode 16, talking all about the Netflix situation, the drop in the stock and share prices and whatnot, and just doing a long episode talking about Netflix's lack of promotion for their shows, them cancelling shows and things like that, and what they could do to improve that situation. So we talked all about that. Of course, the United Cast episode for the Chelsea game I've got. Better Call Saul, me and David are still covering that on Thursdays. The newest episode is season six, episode 3. So we're still covering that on Thursdays. That's for Better Call Saul. Over on the Walking Dead UK podcast, we did an emergency episode talking about Melissa McBride choosing to exit the spin-off, the upcoming spin-off show, which was supposed to be for Daryl and Carol. Obviously, it won't have Carol in it anymore because Melissa McBride has exited the role. She's still in the main show that is still ongoing. That will be continuing in October, but she can't do the spin-off show. So we did an emergency episode talking all about that. I did a podcast called 14 Steps to Fix the DCEU, so not proposing a complete reboot, but taking a look at what is and isn't working with new leadership and that kind of stuff, and just laying out a 14-point step sort of plan, talking about what the DCEU could do to fix itself, basically. So there's that. Also did a CW Superheroes episode for the Flash. That's a podcast wrap up. The show will be continuing, but we will not be continuing with the podcast, hence the podcast wrap up. So me and Robert did that. And I did a must see review for season one of Raw. It's a female led anthology series over on Apple TV Plus. That's the first season, and I very much enjoyed watching all of that. And that is everything we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org. You can find us as well on your favorite podcast platform by searching for the same name. Let's get into player ratings. As I kind of have been hinting to in the whole game, I usually like to go to my man of the match first if I remember to do so, which I have. 10 out of 10 for Mata. Easy man of the match. Of course, he wasn't the only standout player. Usually it's between like De Gea and Ronaldo for the man of the match, sometimes Sancho. But no, just Mata running the show today, showing what he should have been able to do at Man United for so long. Exposing our midfield problem really as well. Because our midfield has just basically been non-existent. We've both struggled with the midfield in an attacking creative sense, and certainly with our defensive, you know, part of the midfield. But he really kind of exposed today what's been wrong with our midfield. And, you know, the passing and move, the link-up play, all that kind of stuff. It's a fantastic last home game for one Mata. So we're, I don't know if he'll play in the other two games, but, you know, we look to the future now with Hannibal, Garnacho, and hopefully some new signings in the summer. But goodbye to Mata, and you get a man of the match on your last home performance, at least. So there we go. Going to David De Gea. Didn't have to be so busy today, did he? It's difficult to rate a goalkeeper with this type of game because he did make a couple of saves, but not in the way where we usually feel like, oh, he's getting peppered with shots and, you know, he's saved, you know, saved six shots today and we should have lost 6-1 or whatever. So I think I'll just give De Gea an average 6. He didn't do anything wrong, but he wasn't required to make any game saving, you know, saves, so to speak, like he usually is, like we usually used to seeing. So yeah, that was that. Diego Dalot, his crossing was a little bit all over the place today. Some of it was very, very good. There was a couple of crosses that went over the top. Defensively, okay, pretty good. I think I'd probably give him a 7, I think. Yeah, probably a 7. I think he needs to work a little bit more on defensive type of stuff, but I do like Dalot. I do like him as an attacking fullback. You sort of want to combine Wan-Bissaka's defensive qualities with Dalot and sort of merge them into one person. What the ideal thing would be to do is to sell one of them and then buy one that's better than the one that's still there. One that can do both jobs, like a Reece James or a Lamptey. You know, somebody that can defend and attack. So there we go. Lindelof, Varan, I'd probably give them both an 8. I thought they were both very, very good. Weren't required to do, like, massive stuff, but they kept Brentford quiet. You know, Brentford, I could see Brentford having some qualities in this game, certainly. They just weren't quite able to, you know, quite be there today, I thought. And I don't really, you know, watch Brentford or whatever, but I've heard that they've been pretty good and they've avoided relegation basically, so that's good for them. That's probably a good season for them, because Brentford is a team that you'd look at in the Premier League and think, oh, you know, relegation candidates. But no, just in general, I thought Varane and Lindelof kept them pretty quiet, so I give them both an 8. So there's that. Tellez, still defensively a little bit questionable. I give him probably... I thought it was probably as good as Dalot today. Yeah, they both had pretty similar games in my eyes. Defensively, slightly questionable. I don't think Tellez should necessarily have played today. You could have tried that Fernandez guy, the left back that we had on the bench. But he was pretty good going forward in the attack, so I'll probably give him a 7 as well. McTominay, I'm not going to be massively harsh on today. I don't think he did too much that was specifically wrong, but I don't think he really showed the midfield qualities that the other two did, really. So I'm probably just going to stick McTominay with an average 6. I think that's the fairest thing to do, really. So yeah, Matic, I'll give him a 10 again, running the show with Mata both their last home games. If I could give them both man of the match, I probably would. Although Ronaldo was really good as well. But nah, just again showing what we've been missing in midfield. You know, him linking up with Mata and doing some really good, just some good football. So I'll give Matic a 10. Alanga, I'd probably give Alanga the same as like Dalot and Tellez. Defensively, again, slightly questionable. I can see him trying different things, which is good. He's showing, you know, some good energy and stuff. He's looks like he's trying, which is basically good. Did, of course, get an assist from Bruno's goal, so that was very good. You know, good run down the side and everything. But, again, he's only, what is he, 20? Yeah, he's still got some time to develop. Again, we'll see what the likes of Ten Hag can do. Or we'll see what Ten Hag can do with the likes of him next season. I still think you've got a small issue of which side is he going to play on, because you keep switching him around. I don't know how he feels about that, but you probably should stop doing that. I don't know. But anyway, Bruno Fernandes, I'd probably give like a 9-2. There was a couple of things where I thought, what are you doing, Bruno? That was still kind of there. That sort of Hollywood pass type thing. Wasn't doing it anywhere near as much today, but I just don't think he had quite the same 10 out of 10 game that Mata and Matic did. So I'd probably give him a 9. Still a good score. He still scored a goal, so still had a good game. And Ronaldo, I would probably give a I'd probably give him a 10 as well. You know, scored a good goal. Unfortunately scored an offside one as well. But isn't it just funny looking now at the Ronaldo situation and the amount of British media, not even just British media, but American sites and publications and that, were like, oh, Ronaldo's the problem. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Do you really think Ronaldo's the problem? Because, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I did say it at some point. I don't think I ever said Ronaldo was the problem. I've pointed out where he's had a rough game or a bad game here and there. And when he's not done quite well enough. There was even one game against, who is it? Tottenham or something? There was one game this season where I think we lost or we drew or something. And him and, I think that was when we were playing him and Cavani up front. And they were both really, really wasteful. And I pointed it out. But I don't think I've once said that Ronaldo's the problem, because I don't think that's the case. It's amazing he's gotten 18 goals this season, really. When you think about the type of player he is and his age. if we had a better midfield this season and a better defence, it's sad to think about that. But if Van de Beek was still here, if we'd sacked Ollie in the summer, but still brought... Because this is how you do a better, not alternate version of this season, right? You sack Ollie after the Europa League final. Maybe you bring Ralf Rangnick in straight away, or maybe you convince Ten Hag to come in, but you'd still want both of them to end up in the roles that they're in, which is them both at the club. You still sign Sancho, Varane, Ronaldo, but you also sign a CDM. And then what you do is you keep Van de Beek, you stop playing McTominay and Fred so much, you drop Maguire, you play Eric Bailly more, and then you're really looking at a different season. You really are looking at a different season there. Whether or not the Greenwood thing would still have happened is a different thing. And if Cavani had played more on that type of stuff. But if we'd had a better midfield with the same Ronaldo in the same amount of form, with a better manager from the start, and sorted out the defensive issues, mainly taking out Maguire and preferably also taking out Lindelof still and playing Bailey and Varane, you're looking at a different season. You're looking at that. That's at least the season you're looking at where we do finish top four. Anyway, you know, I was just kind of pointing that out. So there we go. So that's that. Anyway, let's go to the substitutions. Yet again, Eric Bailly is on the bench to my yet again complete annoyance. I have been preparing myself for him to leave because I think it's still going to happen, and it's still going to really annoy me when it happens. Hopefully it doesn't. But it very much annoys me. And as much as I do think Lindelof has been better than Maguire this season, I still don't really like Lindelof and still don't think he's good enough long term. And I still think you should have played Eric Bailly instead of Lindelof, but played him with Varane, and then preferably you don't loan out Twanzebe, and then you put Mengi in the team more, and then you've got a better defence. That's just how I look at it. So, yeah. But anyway, you've got Bailey, Cavani, the other Fernandez. So this guy's name is Alvaro Fernandez. He's a left back, and he's 19 years old. Fred, Garnacho, shame we didn't see him today, or either of them. Henderson, Jones, Lingard, Rashford. So, yeah, that was our bench. Cavani came on, Fred came on, Jones came on. Not much to say about any of them, really. So, there we go. Then it says, Maguire knee injury, Pogba calf injury, Sancho illness, Shaw calf injury, and Wan-Bissaka's got a knock. He's got a knock. Yeah, okay. What does that mean? He's got a knock. Anyway, never mind. But, I don't know what that means, but anyway, yeah, that's just, you look at like, okay, knee injury, yeah, that's an injury, calf injury, that's an injury, illness, okay, you're too under the weather to play, sure, calf injury, okay, leg injury, and then Wan-Bissaka, knock, what does that mean, knock, anyway, never mind, there we go, anyway, that's it for this, match. We've next got, I think it's on Saturday, Brighton, 5:30 Saturday, and then if I quickly Google Man United, so 7th of May, and then the 22nd of May, so 7th, okay, so we don't play football next week for some reason. Maybe there's some finals taking place or something. But yeah, 7th of May, Saturday, and then the Sunday, the 22nd of May. Usually the season does end on a Sunday. I don't know when the transfer window opens, but that's the 22nd that the season finishes on. At some point between the 22nd and... It won't be like the next week or something. I'll take a bit of time to think about what I'm going to say. I will do a wrap-up podcast for the season. Then just throughout the summer, depending on how many players actually go and... come in, I'll do some transfer talk episodes, or maybe just one to just round it all up, and then when we get closer to the season in August, I will do a preview for the season. So that's how that's all going to go. But no United cast episode next week. Is going to be one on Saturday though, and then 8 days after that, sorry, no, not 8 days, Saturday 7th, and then Sunday 22nd, and those will be the last two games of this very painful season to watch. But hey, today was good. Today was good. Can't say it wasn't. So, yeah. Good stuff indeed. There we go. Anyway, in the meantime, let me know what you thought of anything I said on the episode. What do you think of Mata today and Matic and everything going on there? What do you think of the performance? Why do you think the performance happened? Do you think it was a Ten Hag audition? Or do you think the players just... I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it myself in terms of why we played better today. And I don't think the "it was just Brentford" excuse really applies because of what I mentioned earlier. But anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments about everything I mentioned. You can send those to Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org. Twitter, eTalkUK, is a contact page and information in your show notes. So let me know what you think of everything I mentioned, or your own thoughts and stuff like that. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on Entertainment Talk. Oh, sorry, you can also write in by using the big email box. You can find that on the website version of the episode, contact page, information in your show notes, all that sort of stuff, and clickable name in your show notes as well. So check out all of that. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main night podcast. Take a look at all of those. I got some big episodes this week. Got Better Call Saul episode, Doctor Strange, that's going to be big, and of course the Moon Knight finale as well, which my review might surprise some of you, depending on how the finale goes, but my review of that might surprise some of you, and we've got a chat podcast to do at some point this month as well, so there is all of that, and again, you can find that all, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk. If you would like to support us in different ways, you can also tell other people about what we're doing and where they can find it, either by just telling them or using social media, so you can help us out that way. Patreon, $1, $3 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Take a look at that as well. if you'd like to, for all of that. If you want your TV and your film news, newest TV and film news, renewals, cancellations, air dates, those sorts of things, casting news, Dave has got you covered over on geektown.co.uk and Geektown Radio. By the way, go and wish him a happy birthday. It is his birthday today, which is the 2nd of May, so go and do that as well for all of that. Bex, who's also involved in all this, you can find her over on TristoBYTES, either streaming on Twitch or posting on Twitter and Instagram, so take a look at what she's doing over there. You can also find me streaming on Twitch a bit more regularly than usual, eTalkUK over on Twitch, and you can also find the FIFA Career Mode rebooted episodes. I put up some new ones today, those should all be up to date, and some game clips. But in terms of game clips and Twitch streams, all of it's archived and up to date currently on the YouTube channel, which is Entertainment Talk Play. So go and check out all of that. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you for the next podcast. Goodbye.